You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys, fork.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chance. You want to leave.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
Message erased.
Mississippi Delta is shining like a national tar. I'm following the highway down the river to the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. I have reason to believe we both will be received in Graceland. She comes back to tell me she's gone. As if I didn't know that. As if I didn't know my own bed. As if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. She said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companions are ghosts in empty sockets, looking at ghosts in empty years. But I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. There's a girl in New York City, she calls herself the human trampoline. And sometimes when I'm falling, tumbling and turning in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's a part of me that wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love and every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. All will be received in the land. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Going to Graceland.
All right. I am Dave of Dave and Giggles, but Giggles is not here. He's somewhere on the road I'm not sure. He took a flight back into Colorado and is on his way back home. He may call us. Who knows? We don't know. But I do want to talk about why I opened the song or the show with that song. I am Dave. We are Dave and Giggles, and we've had a show for a really long time, and now we're on Radio Free Brooklyn. So thanks to Tom over there. Good guy. I don't know if you... Anyway, so I'm going to play for the next like month or so, whenever we do a new show, I'm going to play people we've had on the show in the past. So that was John Shannon doing Graceland. Guy's awesome. Dude's killer. So beyond that, we have a slight full house and common tie here of everyone in this room besides one person is we've done I've done a podcast with everyone in the room separately. Nick, I don't know if you want me to use your last name. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Nick is fine. I'll pull you up there. Hey, Nick.
Hi.
Where are you? You're not coming up there.
Oh.
Are you in there? Say hi again.
Hi.
That's weird. Try it again.
Hello.
Dylan, you say anything?
Nick.
Try that mic. I don't know why that one's not working. Maybe we can ask Tom at some point. His mic isn't working. I don't know why. But regardless,
when we get him already.
Yeah, it's going to cut him off already.
We preemptively cut him off.
So he's on three, and he's not getting anything coming out of three. Let's just say a little hello again.
Hello.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hello.
That was Mike that fell. What are you going to do? You know, the first show, you're going to have a couple problems. You're gonna get into...
We wrote all this, actually.
We did. We wrote this.
This is actually...
So the person you're hearing now is Dylan.
Dylan is the
third guest. And the show we did... What was the show we did together?
Well, we did...
Not My Genre.
We did Not My Genre, yeah.
Which was about what? What was that about?
It was about music, people who listen to different genres of music and how much we hate that. Right. More or less. Right?
More or less. Yeah. So it was like us bitching about other people's music.
Yeah, yeah. It was that.
And,
yeah. It's about intolerance.
Hello.
Is it back?
Yeah, it's back. Yeah.
Okay, so this button right here sends it to the main mix. Somebody unpress that.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, sir.
Did you press it?
Yeah. It has been pressed.
Nice.
All right, so we're back on it. Nick, hey, buddy.
Hi.
And hello to everyone out there. So we got Nick. The show that we did together was a show that we're going to try to bring back a little bit on this show.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's called When Are We?
When Are We?
We'll get to that a little later.
Get there in a minute.
So I brought you guys in because I feel like there's a little bit of beef between you two. No, I'm joking.
Cannot wait.
I just wanted to make sure that it was cool.
I tolerate Dylan unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
You heard it here.
That's pretty good. All right.
There's no beef between
There's
us.
There's no beef.
By the
beef.
Way.
No beef.
There's no beef.
Dave loves
There's a tofurkey between us, maybe.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of things we want to talk about. The big thing that I read today was Leo DiCaprio's in a bit of hot water. Have you seen Leo?
Oh, I did, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the jet.
So he takes a jet from Cannes Film Festival to New York, receives an award for environmentalism.
Sure.
And then flies back to Cannes.
Yeah.
In his private jet.
Was it a Prius-type jet? Did it have any kind of...
I hope so. Yeah. Maybe it was solar-powered?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know what's the miles per gallon that jet gets.
I think the thing is that if you're a celebrity, you can do whatever you want.
True.
Right?
I mean, what he says and how he moves the whole, you know, everything forward for that whole narrative for, you know, the... Everything about I know I'm like
Would you get drunk on the way
I got
here?
A little drunk on the way here, but I'm just saying his voice.
So you brought a bunch of people and then you left them outside.
Yeah, they're gone. They're out of here. But I'm just saying, like, his voice speaks in such volumes for everything he says in regards to the environment and everything else. He gets a pass on this.
He gets a pass on it.
He gets a pass.
But I feel like there's a lot of people out there who'd be like, you know, you're standing up for this environmentalism. What the hell? Why are you being such a jerk?
Well, I think that the his rationale is that he probably sort of does sort of a cap and tax, you know, like carbon tax kind of things where he pays money.
He probably pays a lot
to offset.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
This is a glamorous lifestyle.
So he's paying
lifestyle.
For it. He's
yeah,
paying
exactly.
for it.
Yeah.
One way or another. Yeah.
So it's all good. I mean, again, I'm sure the guy, he's a celebrity, he can do whatever he wants, right? Do you think he fills his jet with a lot of women?
That's the thing. That's why that's why there's so much pollution. All the women on the jet, it gets like a mile per gallon per because of the added weight.
The added weight.
Yeah, there's like 50 or 60 like women on the jet, probably, more likely.
The champagne.
The champagne adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have a lot of champagne.
There's bubbles, but they don't float like the bottles. So, yeah.
The effervescence does not offset
it's not light.
The weight.
It's not light.
So we were talking the other day about the meternity. And we were talking about a little before about having kids at work.
True.
How come – I feel like this day and age, does it happen in your workplace where people with kids get like exceptional carte blanche to like take off whenever they want, leave early whenever they want, come in late whenever they want? Or is this just something that happens where we work?
Well, where I work, it's all people who are 23.
Sure, so they're a bunch of kids.
I'm a grandpa, basically.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about being like one of the older people over there?
I mean, it's kind of nice. They all come to you with their advice and their life. You know, they all have a lot of ambition and I just love watching it and just saying this is not real. This is
do you try to give input? Do you give bad input? Because that's what I would probably
sabotage them.
I would, yeah.
It depends, but there are those that I've, pushed in the wrong direction.
What'd you say to them? Like, anything good?
Watching it slow. Well, I told some people to maybe break up with a significant other or...
You should be free, dude. Just do it.
Don't let her hold you back.
Stop focusing on your career.
I've been trying to tell Dylan that for a long time now.
Yeah. Just stop focusing on everything.
Come
to my radio show.
Get drunk with me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst influence in my life, this man right here. Absolutely.
Who, me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not probably wrong.
No.
We need to go on a bender again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There was a week where we went on a bender like every night of the week, and we were home every morning at like 4 in the morning.
It was good.
It was really bad. I still feel the repercussions of that today.
I'm looking at you right now. I don't think you're wearing the same outfit from the bender.
Yeah, I still am.
Yeah. You don't look much
different. If we go on another bender, Nick, would you want to come with us?
I probably won't drink on the bender, but I'll definitely...
Are you off drinking?
No, I'm not off drinking.
Oh.
I can't do the bender thing as much anymore.
It's tough. But you got to go.
You gotta do it. Well, no, what happened is I woke up one morning, I literally had my liver in pain. I could feel it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just crying out, please, why?
Well, you were trying, weren't you going to, like, quit for a little while?
I did. Yeah.
And how long did you quit for?
I mean, like, 3 days.
You only made it 3 days? You told me you were going to go, like, a month.
I did that like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I had a little sober, dry January. But, it's I just, I can get sort of that nice little drunkenness for about an hour.
Yeah.
And then I have to lay down,
That's when the beauty's you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah. You do have to lie down. And after a week of that, it really catches up to you.
It's really bad.
Recently, Louis C.K. quit the internet. Did you see that Louis C.K. quit the internet for a month? He was like off the internet completely.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
I'm
addicted.
Devastating.
Yeah. Like he didn't go on the internet
He didn't even like go on. He like put his phone down, didn't do anything internet related.
Yeah, I read him. He railed against internet news, which I thought was pretty insightful. It's just a headline. Like everybody reads the headline, and then they think they know everything about the story, which is kind of how internet news is now. Because you don't. There's so much of
which is why The Onion is so popular. Because you read the headline, you laugh a little bit, and you move on.
Because you can just read 100 headlines and think you know much about 100 things, but you don't know anything about anything.
That's
really
what I do with this show.
Exactly. And that's why I'm here.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. I read a bunch of headlines.
What'd you read?
Well, the one about Leo. I didn't go any deeper.
Neither did I.
No, exactly.
What other headlines did you get?
I had that headline and some Cosby stuff. I don't know.
There was something about the Cosby. He's going to face the girl now or something like that. I only read the headline.
No.
Exactly.
This show should be called I Only Read the Headline.
I Only Read the Headline.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It was something about his wife and a disposition and yada, yada, yada. And it's a headline.
That wasn't even a headline, though.
No. I actually went a little bit deeper there. Yeah. That's probably what tripped me up. That's just like the headline.
What was the headline? I'm still not getting the story.
No, the headline was, you know, there's lawsuits against them, and there's going to be – there may be motions to, like, further, like, legal action, and they're just trying to figure out if they have any basis to do that. So they're, like, questioning everyone involved. What are we doing here?
I'm still, that's not a story, though. Like,
no,
what
it's
you're
not
telling
really
me.
A story. It's still in its infancy.
We have something, but we're not sure what we have yet. They're trying to see if
they can really bring him to some kind of trial and actually
I thought that already went to the grand, and then they decided that it was going to go to trial.
I think it's still.
You're not giving me anything.
It's getting there. You're not giving me anything. It's getting there. Yeah.
All right. I have a etiquette question for you guys.
Oh. Are my elbows on the table?
Yeah, your elbows are on the table.
I'll take them off. All right,
you go
question.
Into the bathroom, and you could be anywhere. Say you're at like a Yankee game, or you're at work or something like that.
It's a public restroom.
It's a public restroom, right?
Single stall.
You come in, and all the stalls are taken.
So it's a multi-stall.
All the urinals are taken.
Go to the stall.
And you have to go to the stall.
Yeah.
Do you close the door or do you leave it open?
Did you hear something about me at work?
Why, what?
Something happened. It was weird.
What happened?
Well, no, I was in the same scenario and I went into the stall.
Okay.
And I went to close the stall door.
Okay.
And it swung open while I was going.
Okay.
And
I did not hear this. I turned
to close it. And I may or may have not exposed myself to someone else on our floor.
Who did you?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was.
You gotta write it down. Did you?
No, I don't know the name of the guy. It was someone.
Point
him
out
to me. He's not
did
in
he
the
get,
room.
No, when we get back to work
it's
tomorrow.
Nick.
When we get back to work tomorrow.
I'll post, yeah.
That's where the beef comes from.
But it can get hairy there.
So you went to shut it. You didn't lock it.
It didn't
And it opened up on you, and you just, like, turned around.
I just turned full frontal some guy.
Why did you turn around?
I don't know.
Yeah. What did you do in the stall?
I don't know. I got nervous. I don't often... How often do you pee in a stall? That's the problem.
I mean, it's not a common thing, which is why I asked this question. Do you close the stall door or not?
Leave it open, I would say.
I would say...
After my experience, yeah.
So you leave it open.
Yeah.
I have an instinct to shut it because you go in there and you're like, shut it. But, I mean, I wouldn't do it at home. I wouldn't do it at the urinal. You're standing out there.
Yeah.
Right. I think what's important here is context. I think if you're in among a group of coworkers, people you have to face and look in the eye, I don't want them knowing anything about what I'm doing when I go into the restroom. I don't want them to hear anything. I don't want them to have any sort of insight. But, you know, if I'm at a rest stop or, you know, like long cross country haul, had a big coffee in the morning and, you know, just got to stop in for some, you know.
You're just going to walk right in, not shut the door.
I'm just going to go ahead.
I think at work I'd be like a little leaner about like, I don't really care. But like if I go into a stall where there's like 50 stalls, I'm going to shut it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's an etiquette question. It has no real answer, does it?
I think it does.
All right, what's the real answer?
It's whatever you prefer.
There is no right answer.
I think this should be what is like Congress is actually voting on. Instead of this whole like what your birth certificate says your gender is, it should be if you're in this stall peeing. I mean,
that's
I
actually
exposed
a good point.
Myself to someone at work. This is like a real. This is like what's really like
so
disgusting.
That should be the real bathroom.
Exactly. I should be. Like before a Senate committee right now, like answering to like my crimes.
So I was in the men's room, but I exposed myself.
I exposed myself because
would deem you not worthy to go into the girls' bathroom.
I shouldn't be allowed in any bathroom, any public bathroom.
So they
really,
should give you your own bathroom.
I wouldn't even say send me home every time I have to go to the bathroom. Just clock out and
just go home.
Just go on home.
But that whole bathroom thing, I honestly don't get it. Like, what's the deal with it? I mean, Nick, you have your finger on the pulse. What's the deal with the bathroom issue?
I have the finger, my finger on the pulse.
Finger
of the,
on the of pulse
the bathroom
of like, the bathroom issue.
The bathroom issue. Not,
yeah.
Well, do I?
I mean, don't know. Do you?
No, not really.
I feel like when I go to people who feel like I have the finger on their pulse, it's you.
It's me.
It's you.
I think it's I think the issue is just it's a lot of people trying to impose their will and somehow making a whole horror story out of it, something we have to be afraid of. I think there's much to it, you know. I mean, I want to find these reports of people dressing as women and assaulting women in bathrooms,
right,
and
exactly.
claiming, you know, they're trans doesn't happen, and they can get away with it.
Like, I mean, there's so many videos I've seen online where, like, people will chase, like, women into the women's bathroom,
right,
who are, like, lesbians or whatever, and they're, like, really dressed up and they look like guys, and they're videotaping them and they're yelling at them, get out of the women's bathroom, get out of the why is it such a hot button issue? I just honestly don't get it. I recently worked on a short documentary of a, and I probably shouldn't say it, but it's I won't say the name
NDA,
of it.
NDA, bro.
And I didn't sign anything. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it's about this camp that opened up in California, and it's a gender camp where these kids go, ranging anywhere from like three on, who identify as the other gender. And a lot of them, as they get older, they get the sex change or whatever. They're doing the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, these people are obviously identifying and, like, come across as the gender that they associate themselves with. And I would have no problem. I wouldn't even know that they're in my bathroom if they were a woman before. Why? First of all, I wouldn't care. That's the thing.
True.
But I just don't understand why people care so much. But I would care if you exposed yourself to
exactly. And that's my point exactly. I'm the real menace here. Like,
you are the real
do
menace.
Not,
we have to stop people like you who...
I am. I'm telling you. Like, the lackadaisical hetero man is terrorizing
with
this planet.
With poor coordination.
Yeah. Poor coordination, bad manners. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't trust it. It's a white man. That's you. No, it just comes down to you.
It makes me nervous.
It makes me nervous. That's why you left.
Yeah.
But that's also, you were saying, you should be brought to Congress. One thing that's being brought to Congress.
That's the thing. If I go to Congress, I'm going to tell a story that probably every congressman has done in Congress.
Sure.
You know, like, I've been through that. This morning I was just taking a leak and I turned around and 15
all
people were watching me.
They've all exposed themselves.
Like, my assistant wasn't there to pull my freaking trousers up, you know, so they're
Smithers.
Not going to lose. Yeah.
It's a Smithers.
Just a Smithers
they just
thing.
Need
yeah.
Smithers.
They need more Smithers.
Do you think there's a lot of politicians, like LBJ, you know, he was very famous for, he would go into the bathroom and keep talking to his assistants and they'd have to follow him in.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Seinfeld bit about that where George didn't follow someone in and he didn't hear the whole thing? Regardless, so what was your point?
I was just saying, you know, is that how it works, do you think, in Congress? And
I feel
that's
like
what they're worried about?
I feel like the higher they get, the more ego they probably have.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Because I bet you, like, maybe George W. Bush probably didn't have much of an ego.
Yeah.
He didn't look like a guy who had much of an ego.
So you're saying if Robert Durst was a congressman, we'd have called him. We would have called him right off the bat.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because he admits to all his crimes in the bathroom, right? Robert Durst, he just I killed them all.
Of course, and the burping.
Isn't it sad that it's like a year since
and nothing's
that came
happened?
Out? No, it's just already sort of a
past.
But that's kind of like the news cycle. You know, you're really into something, and then when it's kind of faded, you're done. And you don't really care about it again.
It's like crack.
Right?
News
like
crack,
Stephen
dude.
Avery, like making a murderer. It was crack.
I was a Stephen Avery addict. And then they ripped it away from me.
They did.
Speaking
of the OJ is coming back again as a 7.5-hour 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Count me in. Like 100%.
That'd be fun, yeah.
But I mean, what are they going to do that's new? I mean, they're going to rehash pretty much the whole trial again. So go with what's hot. The news cycle is still kind of hot on it, so go with it.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I don't, it's weird how it came back, too. And apparently this is what spawned the 24-hour news cycle.
The OJ.
The OJ trial.
Right. It was just like nonstop.
And now it's back to like revive it.
Yeah. I mean, when a story's hot, go with it, right?
But it's old.
It's so
horrible.
Old.
And everyone knows like everything about it.
Right.
Like, why bring it back again?
Right.
Why resurrect it? But... it's fun. Right?
It's
it's ludicrous.
I mean, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna
watch
the 30 for 31
series.
I watched the series. I got addicted to it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was something else coming out, I'd be like Stephen Avery. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
You know, And that's a news cycle. Yeah.
It comes back. Like a variety show?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skits.
About,
and,
yeah, about, you know, about Stephen Avery.
Musical numbers.
Like, all, like the whole family is going to participate. It can like take place on the compound. Live from freaking Milwaukee. Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. They could just tour the grounds of all the old cars and stuff, yeah, and talk about. Yeah. Oh, this is where we found her car over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's something that else is going that's going to go to Congress. Women might have to sign up for the draft.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's going.
So how soon will they be leaving?
It's pretty soon. Right. I mean, the draft hasn't been enacted since like 1974, that's 1973 or something like
it's an
that.
All-volunteer army right,
right
now.
Yeah. I mean, we had to, right? Did you?
Yeah, the selective service, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well...
Did you not?
Right. Yeah, for I mean, for to qualify for student aid, I think
so, you have to.
Yeah.
Well,
you can't vote if you don't.
I okay. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Probably gonna get a lot of trouble, but I got the card.
I'll send you his address.
Don't please. I got the card.
Okay.
And
burned it.
Burned it right.
Just like the old '60s where we burned bras and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing.
No, I actually did consider just not signing because I was, you know, I was just gonna try to argue like being a pacifist or something, but I didn't have really a track record of pacifism to back it up. So
no.
I filled out everything, but I and I'm using air quotes right now, but I accidentally switched the last two numbers of my Social Security.
Nice. Really?
So and I didn't actually think about it until
did
it was
you accidentally?
It was purely accidental. Not using air quotes.
Not
when I
using
say it this
air
time.
Quotes.
I accidentally.
How did you figure out that you did?
Because I filled out that and some other piece of paper on the same day, and I wrote the same Social Security number. Like, I referenced the one, you know, the...
So you didn't know your Social Security number. You looked at a paper. You wrote it down
I wrote it down wrong. And I sent one out. I sent the draft card out, and then I sent this other thing out, and the other thing came back, and they said, we can't find record of you.
Okay.
And I realized what the problem was. I switched the last two numbers of my Social Security.
So did they fix it?
The draft thing?
Yeah. So you are not registered.
I mean, I am. I am. I mean,
did you get financial aid at school?
No.
So we're going to lose the next war without you.
Basically,
man. How will we ever invade?
That's interesting that you are not.
I mean, I'm sure they figured it out at some point.
I don't know. I mean, they need that. Yeah, they're not the smartest guys.
Maybe you're dead on their books.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
When you go get a house or something, that might come back to bite you.
My failure to they're going to insert it. You they don't check for those things, do they?
They probably don't.
Don't tell me they do.
I think they do
for draft registration.
Yeah, I think draft is.
I
a
think
big
that may
thing.
Be the only thing they check on.
Yeah. I think
that
it is.
And like the taxes. Right?
You should look into this, and then maybe we'll follow up with it.
Well, I mean, I think
he may not be here next week. There's no follow up here.
I think
there's men at the door right now.
Yeah. They've zeroed in my. I mean, I did put my phone on airplane mode. They probably gives me a good 15 minutes.
Yeah, they don't know where you are right now.
Yeah, they can't find my friends.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
They're not going to pop my box.
You never know. That's interesting. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I really want to. I'm going to research this and we'll talk about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, all you have to know is that I'm not here next week.
So there were people who actually uprooted their whole lives, went to Canada, and you could have just.
All you had to do is invert a couple numbers.
And then nobody cares.
Yeah.
So all this, moving out of this.
Think of all the people, too. Like, Muhammad Ali, right? He was in jail for this.
Did he go to jail for it?
I guess he probably couldn't get away with just switching last
numbers.
That would have been great, right?
Yeah.
He went to jail for that.
Though. Did he go to jail for that?
Yeah. He was a conscientious objector, right?
I don't know about this. How long did he go to jail for?
It was a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is, I have to say, it's not a great disguise. It's basically the equivalent of wearing a pair of those, like, glasses with the fake mustache and the fake
Groucho
nose. The Groucho Marx glasses as a disguise.
That's how I would get out of it, though. That was my plan to get out of
it. Well, I'm not worried because, first off, at the time, I would never have been sent to war.
Yeah.
No.
They would have just thrown me right out of that army.
Why would they throw you out of the army?
Because it was this man's army.
It was this man's army.
And I wasn't quite man enough for them, I think.
So you would be like, you know, I'm queer, I'm not going.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would say it, too. I'm queer and I'm not,
not going.
Yeah.
But that was the 90s, so it probably would have been that word.
Yes, it was a different time.
It was a different time. That's why I did it.
That's why
I said it.
So you weren't trying to be offensive.
No, not at all.
But I Yeah, you know, I think, but at this point, you know, I'm probably too old.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely too old.
What's the cutoff anyway?
I think it's like 30?
35? 36?
I'm not 36.
No, I don't think it's...
What's the cutoff? Like 48? You're 48, right? Okay.
I don't think we're going to see him tomorrow. No. I think this is it.
This is it, yeah. He'll be at war tomorrow.
I'd say.
They're gonna war for people like you.
We send you.
I'm going to just like drop you right into a battlefield tomorrow morning.
That's really good. All right. So, did you prepare a speech?
I just was fucking around. Oh, pardon my French.
I thought you prepared a speech.
No, I didn't prepare anything. I just prepared myself with
to get a beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I say we try to get into a little bit of When Are We?
Yeah,
there you go.
A little When Are We? So I prepared a theme song.
Can you maybe give a little background on When Are We? Or should I?
You could give a little background.
Oh, okay. So Dave and I have a mutual love and admiration for time travel and time travel movies.
Yes, we do.
And I think we're... Well, the three of us all love the Back to the Future trilogy. I think that's sort of the pinnacle of that. But there's a lot of other films out there which touch on the issue. So we recorded I think we'll just call it a pilot for now.
A pilot.
That's a work good in way progress. To put it. Of a podcast called When Are We?
Which goes through
and we talk about various movies and television shows and books and stories that touch on this subject.
Right. So the pilot.
The pilot, we focused on the Terminator series.
Terminator, because Genesis had just come out.
Genesis had come out. We had seen it. And I have to say, I will have to return to that one, but I've had some revelations. I actually think it's got a smart message in there that we don't really get the first viewing.
So how about we do it again? We'll do a rehash on that. And then we'll tack it on the end of the other one.
Yes, I think that's a good one. I think we'll come full circle.
Because I didn't hate Genesis.
I didn't hate it either, and actually I've learned to respect it a bit more since then. But this week, we are not talking about the Terminator.
We're not talking about the Terminator.
This week.
Let's play the intro.
Oh, let's play the intro.
And then we'll reveal the big movie.
Oh, sure.
You know? All right, here we go.
Time travel has not yet been invented.
Are you saying it's from the future?
No way!
Yes, way.
What year is this?
To the ground hog.
Bang!
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You sent me to the wrong year.
This time travel crap just fries your brain like an egg.
Bang!
That was my intro.
That was
put it together
great.
Real quick.
That was really well done.
It was good, right? It was like trying to get sound design from a whole bunch of time travel movies, and I had to throw the bing in there.
Anyway,
so this week we're going to talk about Time Cop. Time Cop. 1994. excellent. We all watched it, right? I think we can all say.
Yeah. We did, yes.
Who watched it? You watched it, right?
I went back in time and watched it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a rundown of the story.
Me?
Yeah.
He's drunk.
That's perfect.
Basically, it consists of who is this guy who invents the time travel? It's some evil German guy, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of pushed.
Right, what? Did you watch the right movie?
No.
there was a thing at the beginning where this guy comes in and is like, I need funding, and we figured out how to time travel. And
there
then basically they go, all right, we need to put someone in charge of this thing. And then some guy in the back was like, I'll do it. And so he's like kind of running this thing.
The bad guy.
And he becomes the bad guy who kind of oversees everything.
Yeah.
And then eventually goes back in time to try to get...
Do what all of us would do.
Right,
we
get money.
Get money.
But he wants to get enough... Go ahead.
I was going
to
say, he's not just getting money. He's just not acquiring wealth. He's using the money for his presidential
campaign.
Presidential
he's
campaign.
Self-funding.
He's not going to the Republican Party and asking for it.
He's not
doing
going
it on his own.
Yeah. He's on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... There's a lot of overtones, right?
There are. There's a lot of parallels to the current climate, the political climate.
Right.
I feel
I think now every movie I watch, I'm going to look for things that have to do with Donald Trump within
the
bad
guys. Trump,
it's all Trump, right? And I mean, he's based on Biff is based.
He's Biff Tannen. Yeah. He's McComb, right?
I think he's McComb.
I'm pretty sure he's McComb.
Yeah, he's McComb. Yeah.
If he's not McComb, he's the real life McComb. I imagine the only way a guy like Donald Trump ever would able to get the fortunes that he has was probably via the going back in time and investing in some property that no one knew about.
Right, that's what he did.
Yeah, that's
he
what
just
he
pretty
did.
Much
yeah.
bought up a whole bunch of Manhattan.
He went
buildings.
Back in time and bought a Wendy's on 57th Street that no one wanted.
Nobody
and
wanted.
Now he has the Trump Tower there. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was weird.
That
it was,
$1 million.
It
probably,
was weird.
Yeah, it
that
was
movie
weird.
Had some because I'd never seen the movie before because I don't know why. But
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Watching it, he's kind of weird. I was like, he's like the poor man's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
right?
He was.
So I was like, I already seen this kind of, and watching it, I kind of realized there were so many parallels to the modern day. What's
political
happening.
System.
Yeah, what's happening in the news? And
I didn't think we were going to jump right into the political thing, but we totally
it's
did.
It's so apparent, though. It's crazy.
It is really apparent.
But
I have some sound clips.
We don't have to go right to that.
I have some sound clips that we're going to play that actually, I feel like when Donald Trump was going to run his candidacy, he watched this movie and took notes. I think this is what he did.
This is my plan.
Yeah, this is my plan.
Well, you have to wonder, though, because the fact that he's just defying all odds, it makes you think that he's somehow doing what this politician does in the movies, going back in time, and he is just making little changes that somehow just pushing him up in the polls. Inexplicably.
Inexplicably. Yeah. How does he? I don't understand how.
How does he know he can say the things he can say?
Right. If anybody else said them,
the results.
If anyone else said them, they would get trounced.
Even scarier. He's got time control.
It is. He's got time control. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump has time control. All right. So before we get into the sound bites, because we will, because
we haven't really talked about the movie.
Let's talk about the movie a little bit. My first thing was the first 5 minutes of the movie. I was like, holy crap, this movie is bad. I was like, this movie is really
it's not
bad.
It is cheap.
It's cheap.
Cheesy and cheap.
Then Sloan Peterson makes an appearance.
Thank you.
Possibly the best on-camera movie girlfriend of all time from Ferris Bueller, obviously.
Sure.
And then she gets naked. What more can you ask for?
Now
they
I wanted
the
to
chase,
know,
and
do
I
you
saw,
think –
yeah.
Do you think that was real? Do you think that was her or a body double?
Because
they cut that in a way that could
maybe.
Just possibly be.
I still have it on rental. I'm going to watch that scene again.
Yeah. No, it's
sure
you
are.
Right there.
Yeah, so that brought me back in.
Yeah. So,
when I saw her, even though her acting was so atrocious.
She really is.
It was the worst acting in the entire movie. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is in it, who's terrible at acting.
So I think we sort of didn't really quite get into the plot.
Okay.
Of this whole thing.
Go for it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is he's just a hardworking cop in 1994.
Hardworking cop.
He's making his way, stopping mall purse snatchings.
Rollerbladers.
Rollerblader. Paul,
the nuisance of the time.
Read between the lines.
Yeah, the nuisance of the time.
Great.
Yeah.
And so he's just scored a big job with the Time Enforcement Commission, the TEC.
TEC.
Whose new job is to police time travel.
Okay.
And at the same time, his beautiful wife, Sloan Peterson, is, about to tell him that she's pregnant.
Right, of course,
and
classic movie line.
Exactly. Yeah. And right as he's about to go out to fill in for a friend, he's brutally attacked in his home. He and his wife are brutally attacked for an unknown reason.
Unknown reason. Yeah. Right.
And for whatever reason, he gets out of the house, is ostensibly killed, but not really. And his house explodes dramatically.
Giant explosion.
Explodes, but remains intact. Which is great.
It is really good.
I always loved that about this movie.
Sloan Peterson is for reals dead. So we fast forward into 2004, and he is an even harder working time cop.
Well, now he's got something to prove. He doesn't have anybody at home. He doesn't have a life. He only has time cop.
And which goes back to our point about not having children and being better workers, right?
Being better workers. See, you bring it all around. You may be drunk, but you bring it all around.
I can bring it back to the beginning. This man is dedicated to his position at work.
Because he has no kids.
There's no distraction.
No kids.
But as you were.
I mean, nothing much except that he discovers that this unscrupulous presidential candidate is using time travel to go back in time and change the future. I will say,
he really makes some bad choices about how he changes the future to his benefit.
McComb?
Yeah.
Give me a couple examples.
Well, the first, I mean, he goes back in time and he has one of his henchmen go back to the Civil War and steal a bunch of gold bars.
Yeah, Confederate bars.
Yeah. Well, you know, that bullion could have been something really important that, you know, ends up shifting the outcome of the war.
Totally.
And then, you know, ripples. The next thing goes to the future, it ripples, exactly. Ripples. Water in a pond.
Where were the ripples?
There was no ripples there. Yeah. And there was no real, there was a, like, that happened, and then there was mention of it, and it didn't tie the rest of the movie at all.
And why go to that? Like, yeah, how much gold could they possibly have?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Yeah.
They had horses. There's many, what can those horses haul? Like 50, like 100 pounds of
nothing.
Bullion, maybe?
He should have just brought a bunch of antiques back.
There you go.
Like mint condition Civil War antiques.
Well, that gets into like the actual time travel.
Right.
Yeah. So there was this like car. This is the thing that I didn't get about how the time travel worked. So there was this car on a track.
Right.
That kind of like went not 88 miles an hour, as you said before, and then just went, and then it rippled in time, and then it went back into time.
A people burning rocket.
Yeah. The people burning rocket. Oh, yeah, that was a really good scene. That was a good scene. So it ripples it, and then it just, that car disappears, and they just land in the past.
Yeah. Where are these cars going?
Where's the DeLorean?
And then when they come back in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really confused
by that.
So is
there like a valet driver that must be.
Come on in.
In between work? Like,
Come on in.
We'll get you over there.
Well, also
it's like
a
phone booth, but...
Just keep an eye on her, you know? Don't let me get scratched. Well, they also have that thing where they say, like, if you're too nervous or upset, you'll outpace the car somehow. Like something
Did
about
they say something like that?
Something like
end up in the wall.
You'll end up in the wall, you know? Like I think that the comment was... if she farts, she'll get ahead of the car.
There you go.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't remember that comment.
So, what does that mean? Like, do
I
you have
know.
To be going?
So,
at
like,
the
there's
same
any propulsion physics. Whatsoever.
Besides
like, if you move
car.
Or something like that,
yeah,
you'll end up somewhere different.
Somewhere that doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. So, last time we talked about basically the tenets of time travel. And I just want to reiterate those. So basically, there's three types of time travel movies. Uh-huh. There's the multi-universe, which is like none of them coexist. They're all like if you go back in time, you're in a totally different parallel universe. You come back and it didn't affect that universe that you come back to. Right?
Yeah.
That's not this one. Then there's the butterfly effect, dynamic timeline, which is you go back, it ripples towards the future. I think we can all agree that is this one, right? Mm-hmm. And then the fixed timeline, which is predestination. Doesn't matter what happens. If you go back and change things, eventually you could postpone it, which is kind of like Terminator.
Well, it's no fate but what we make.
Right, exactly. So I think we can all agree, dynamic timeline, butterfly effect, things are going to affect the past.
Sure.
Things are in the past are going to affect the future. Everything gets changed. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so... Where were we? Corporate travel. Corporate time travel.
You think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's happening right now.
But that's what Donald Trump's
that's
doing.
That's what Donald Trump is doing.
Probably, yeah.
Well, I will say, first off, Ron Silver does a very good job of just being... It looks like he's having a lot of fun
doing
that.
They did a good job at making him a little older. Like, they put a little weight on him, too.
Yes.
And,
just a little bit, touch of gray.
I love how the only ripple was the, I have a scar now.
I know.
That's the ripple. Yeah. Oh, my God, don't time travel. People will end up with scars.
And he had, Band-Aid on him for a little while. Wow. That made no sense.
Another thing I really loved, it's probably my favorite, just absolutely ludicrous time travel trope in this idea. He goes into the past and he sees his former young self, and his former young self just sort of reaches out to touch him. He says, "Nope, don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
He knows.
Don't touch me."
He says, "The same matter can't occupy the same space."
Yeah. That was their big rule.
That was their rule.
That was it.
That was their big rule.
That was like the don't cross the streams of this movie.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But again... What does that mean? How can you actually have one piece of matter occupying the same space? Or two pieces, rather.
You're not really occupying the same space.
Yeah.
Even with, like, he handed him, the letter, the bond or whatever, and he's like, don't touch it, because then we'll occupy the same space. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't occupy the
same
space.
Down onto the atomic level.
They're not occupying the same space.
They're not actually occupying the same space.
And then, so at the end, like, they do... right? Occupy
right,
the same space.
Into a little goo yeah. thing.
Right. Yeah. I should say we were probably going to spoil things, but it's a movie that came out in 1994.
Yeah.
So whatever.
You would have spoiled
so
it.
So yeah, they become this like what I just described it as, kind of like a
McFlurry.
Nickelodeon, that goo stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. What would they call that?
Goo.
The goo? Was it goo?
Slime.
Gack.
Gack. Yeah.
Get all gacked up.
It was gack.
It was gack, yeah.
They called it gack?
They called it gack. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
The other thing that didn't make sense in this movie was you had that girl who was corrupted by McComb.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she goes back with him. And then she is stuck in the past. And when he comes back, no one's ever heard of her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was confused by that because she lived in the future.
Yeah, remember, because when they go back in time, she says, it's going to be my 16th birthday tomorrow.
So then what happened to her? So
I'm assuming McComb wiped her out.
Wiped her out?
From
that, okay.
But then wouldn't she disappear in the past because she couldn't have ever gone into
the past? She couldn't have gone into the future.
Oh, see, this is where it gets really frustrating.
Right. This is the things they gloss over.
Yes.
They just don't explain. So that would really like – and they made such a big deal about no one remembering her that really like aggravated me. To the point where I was like, no, this doesn't make any sense. She was there.
Right.
You know?
But also they did those little things where like in the beginning of the movie, the tech guy's like, he's a little wacky. You know, watches porn on the side.
Sure.
He wears a Hawaiian shirt and he's got long hair. And then when the past gets changed, he comes back and he's very straight-laced and has a ponytail.
He's got a ponytail,
Yeah.
So cool. And then the other thing that I couldn't define if I liked it. It made sense to me or what was he eventually changes everything, comes back to the future, and he's the only one who doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he like going back into the future like force memories?
Populate his mind with
the memories of what happened.
Does he even know what his kid's name is?
Well, like that's the thing. He meets his kid and he's never seen him before.
Never seen him.
And like I would not accept that kid.
I would never get in that car.
No.
The car that he's driving. Yeah.
We didn't even get into the cars.
Yeah.
Why does a self-driving car need full headlights?
Why does it need like 40 plates of body armor? Like,
it's a tank.
Yeah, it's made of like recycled like plates in like plastic. It's
I do want that car though.
It's not bad.
I bet you there's a there's like a model car of that, like a remote control car of that. That would be cool to have.
Promotional tie-in product or something.
Yeah.
You could definitely like promote Red Bulls out of that car.
You could definitely promote Red Bulls out of that car.
But yeah, I don't know how he would even know what to do when he walked inside the house. Could he find his own bedroom? Like, how would he get dressed in the morning?
Right.
Does
I mean,
know
the biggest
his
thing
shirt?
Is that he
is
sees
his favorite
his
shirt there.
Like, he probably doesn't have his famous shirt anymore.
I mean, the first thing in the morning, like, where's my favorite shirt?
Is that your favorite shirt?
I'm on the weekends. Yeah.
So that's your weekend shirt.
It's my Saturday.
This is my current weekend shirt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember you wearing that. Like many weekends.
Weekend.
Ago. Yeah,
it's a weekend shirt. Yeah. I have a weekend shirt that I pretty much wear all the time.
Yeah.
Is that your weekend attire?
I mean, it's got beer bottles on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's my weekend attire.
All right, so I have some audio clips.
Okay.
Of things that really eerily tied together with Donald Trump, and I think Donald Trump watched this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all
right, so I'm going to play a Donald Trump clip. Ready?
Go for it.
I got to find it, though. Okay.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
All heard that clip before, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We
got the best words. So here is Time Cop. I got to find it. Ready?
Hey, I know all the good words.
And there's also
another all that matters.
No,
there's
another clip where McComb is espousing like how he has gone to Harvard and how is this schmuck ever keep up with him when he was talking to Walker, I believe his name is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another clip I have of McComb. So McComb is really Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely 100%.
I think we've come to that
conclusion. We've come to that conclusion.
That's been established.
All right, so here's the next one. Ready?
But don't tell me what I can't do. Elections are won with television. You don't need the press. You don't need endorsements. You don't even need the truth. You need money. So, tell me. How much is it going to cost to buy the network time I need? $50 million.
They said $50 million.
So that's the Trump clip. And now play the clip from the movie.
That was the Trump clip.
And now play the one from the movie now.
I didn't get that one. Yeah. I couldn't get that one in time.
Yeah.
But that was the Trump one.
Yeah, that was Trump one.
But, I mean, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Do you think Donald Trump would ever say something as clever as, never interrupt me when I'm talking to myself?
No.
I feel like that's him in the green room, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Any interview.
So he's just staring in the mirror, like giving himself faces. Well, yeah. Don't interrupt me when I'm on a roll.
Is he going to tell himself to not eat junk food so that he doesn't get...
Lay off the candy bars.
Yeah, so the best thing in that quote was, you don't even need to tell the truth.
No.
Which, I mean, sure, it's like probably a very historical, political thing. Nobody tells the truth. Right. But it really, really is Donald Trump. It really is.
Yeah.
I have one more.
There should be like 40 or so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you think? I have all the time in the world to pull
clips from
Time Stop?
I think we should just watch this movie.
All right, so here's the last one. I think this is the last one.
The country's going down the drain because of the special interests. We need someone in the White House who's so rich, doesn't have to listen to anybody.
What's that?
The senator was letting a fundraiser. When I'm in office, it's going to be like the 80s again. Top 10% will get richer. The other 90% can emigrate to Mexico where they can live a better life.
And then we'll build a wall.
Jeez.
Build a wall.
And build
keep
a wall.
Out.
I like. I'm frightened. I'm telling you, he watched this movie.
He did. He took notes.
He took notes.
He is this movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is bizarre.
You know, and also, one thing that's... Why does the... One thing you'll notice... Why does McComb have a better working time machine than the time cops?
It's true. It's
true. He just shows up exactly where he wants
like
to be.
Like five guys, six,
when
seven
he wants
guys.
To
giant
be.
Dudes.
He did like a minivan on that rocket track, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Like 30 guys come through, just but, all like no one's sweating or anything. It's fine.
And yeah, time cop is always like landing in the water.
Truck behind him.
Yeah.
You know, like how does...
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That prototype was better than the actual thing.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Well, it's Trump.
That's Trump.
He has the best time
machine.
The best time machines.
The best stuff. It's the best stuff on Earth.
The best of everything, and you're going to have it when I'm elected.
That was
one other thing like about the time travel. So you have to have this car that goes back, but on the way back, you just have like a little like garage door opener.
Go back and forth with that thing.
I know, just do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And only one of them has it?
Only one. McComb is probably the only one who has it. But like all the henchmen don't probably. I don't see them having
but
one.
But Walker had it with his partner too. So it's like,
yeah,
to be next to me or what?
Well, he always like had it
like,
in there,
yeah,
like
to be like
in your chest. Yeah. It's real weird. It
makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And so what's what's the contingency when you know a time cop gets left behind on accident?
Yeah. Mm.
They don't give them like a case of money, like you know the time period
that's
they're going to be in, or
there's
any
screwed.
Sense of how to survive that.
Well, I mean, that girl was left behind,
but luckily for her, in 1994. What if she was left behind in say
1600s?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
she would have been burned as a witch, probably.
Yeah, totally. Maybe that's this whole thing. Like maybe all those Jane Does and John Does out there, they're just time travelers.
Time travelers,
yeah.
Or Donald Trump.
Ooh, that's
right. Well, you saw the video of the guy. You saw the video got the Mike Tyson concert, right?
Yeah. We talked about the fight.
Yeah. He had the.
So there's some guy in the background who's got he's videotaping it on a cell phone. What's he doing back there?
I guess maybe Trump sent them?
Yeah. He must have. Yeah. It probably was Trump. Did we ever get a good look at that guy?
It might have been Trump.
Might have been Trump. Man.
Yeah.
So halfway through it, I was like, I'm not going to recommend this movie. But when it finished, I was like, yeah, I'll recommend it. I say watch it. It's a good one.
It's definitely, if you're a fan of the genre, one to see, it definitely feels like a very cheap Terminator. I will say
it
this.
It totally is.
This movie was really, it was very, very successful. I mean, this movie made, I looked it up, it was $100 million, which in 94 was a big deal.
That's a big deal. How much did it cost?
It was about $27
million. Wow,
so
it made
triple,
big.
Triple, nice return, it's money.
So how much did Trump make off that?
Oh, gosh. Well,
I think Trump went back in time
have
and
to
made that
it.
Movie. To
I don't know how to convert gold bullion into dollars.
He definitely stole some.
Yeah, I think Trump made that movie.
Yeah.
This movie, it was also, you know, the height of JCVD-dom.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
this was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That was split on the countertop.
That scene is like
that's
infamous.
They just shot that just for the trailer.
Yeah, they totally did.
But I read that he also this was where he started to go downhill.
Oh, really?
Really bad.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly it was at this time he had something like a $10,000 a week cocaine habit.
Did he have a cocaine habit?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, which that's insane.
90s, like probably like 95.
That's an insane amount.
For the
90s,
that's insane amount.
Yeah. To put into your body.
Adjust that for inflation. Yeah.
What's that in gold bullion?
That's a good question.
How many Confederate bullion do you need for that freaking addiction?
That is intense. But I will say, what? So JCVD, the movie, that was his big comeback, right?
I don't know if you call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback?
No.
I like that movie, though.
Sure.
That maybe it wasn't a time travel movie, but maybe we'll talk about that another time. We are winding down, though. So that's,
yeah.
I'm going to put a clock in right in front of you.
Okay. We got a couple minutes. I don't know time. Yeah. Thank you, sir. So as we wind down, any last thoughts? What are we going to do after this? Go drink?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
You want to go drink? Maybe. Or are you going to go home?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't think the audience cares.
He's a little burdened. He's a little burdened with these revelations we made here tonight.
Burdened.
Trump and his time travel capabilities.
That's true.
Look, I didn't want to bum anyone out. I just thought we could have something to talk about on your radio show.
We need to bring it to everyone's attention.
I'm totally down. And I think, you know, it played well. I think we explored Time Cop. Further than it should have been explored.
We've made more sense of the Trump phenomenon than most have.
Yeah. I think every time travel movie, we got to incorporate Trump. Because I feel like...
Well, Biff Tannen.
Biff Tannen is Trump.
Yeah.
And I think every movie I watch, I'm going to look for something and try to pull sound clips that are Trump related.
That should just be the theme of the show. We'll just, every week, we'll just dig through every time travel movie we can find and... how it relates to Trump and his rise.
I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
We got a little ending music.
That's sad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now I'm depressed.
Coming up is sad music, I think. Sad music.
The Sad Show.
The Sad Show. So listen to The Sad Show, and I'm gonna kick it off with a little sad music here. This is a little Akron Family. I've been ending my show with this song for about 7 years now. So for new listeners, I am Dave. And Giggles was not with us, but one day you'll meet him. And, cool. You guys have fun?
Yes.
As much as I could.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night, guys. Later, buddies.